This Bites, discussing Milwaukee's culinary and restaurant culture.
With Ann Christensen of Milwaukee Magazine and Tariq Moody of 88.9.
Welcome to This Bites, Milwaukee's longest running culinary podcast with your food host, writer, and critic for Milwaukee Magazine, Ann Christensen, and I'm Tariq Moody, a.k.a. the architect of Radio Milwaukee. We don't have a lot to talk about, but what we have a lot to talk about is quality. That's what it's all about. Food, everything is about quality. Of course, we're going to talk about something called the James Beard, and a couple of chefs got into the finalists. I don't know how what you call it. We got to talk about Top Chef. I assume you watch Top Chef, Ann, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We have a little recap for Top Chef. And then we got news about Amelinda. And Ann takes a 3.14 class.
I need it.
You took a pie class.
Yeah.
And when she got there, she was very crusty. Anyway, come on. You're not laughing at my jokes anymore. You're just sitting there looking at me like...
It's, you know what? T'Challa is the funniest one.
T'Challa, really. Yeah.
He's funnier than you are.
Yeah, he is. And he, well, anyway. James Beard Awards, Ann. May. And we have a couple of semi-finalists, I guess you would say.
They're finalists.
I get too confused. Some people say finalists. Some people say...
No, semi-finalists were revealed a few months ago.
Okay.
This is the finalists, and then...
Yeah, but so, I mean, you're saying some articles have used that term.
Well, that is wrong.
Okay, because I know you're always right. So what's the deal with these... if you haven't lived on a rock, who are the only two chefs in Wisconsin that made the finalists?
They are Dan Jacobs and Dan Van Wright of Dandan and Esterev.
Of Esterev. Have they made the finals before?
I don't think they've gotten to that level. I think they've definitely been semifinalists, I don't think finalists before.
It's the first time.
Yeah. And you know what? Right. The timing on this, you know, is pretty interesting.
Very interesting. We'll get into Top Chef later. So congratulations to Dan Jacobs and Dan Van Wright of Esterev. We also mentioned they're going to get a full restaurant for Esterev soon. Of course, they're the founders of Dandan. So big up to them. Also want to mention some other highlights. I want to talk about a couple of amazing African restaurants were nominated for the James Beard Awards, and one Palestinian American made it to the finalists out of Washington, D.C. Outstanding chef. One of the outstanding chef finalists is Michael Rafidi of Albi in Palestinian and Arabic, not Palestinian, excuse me, means heart. He's basically taken his family recipe and used French techniques to upscale the Palestinian cuisine in D.C. So big ups to him. Dakar Nola is run by a Senegalese chef by the name of Serigne Mabey. He was also featured in, if you haven't seen the show, Netflix's High on the Hog Season 2.
Hmm.
He was named a finalist for Emerging Chef the last 2 years in 2022 and 2023. He also was one of Eater's 12 best new restaurants in America. And then finally, out of Burundi, Mamba Hamisi and Nadia Nijimbere, hope I pronounced that right, of Baobab Fair in Detroit, Michigan. They're refugees, they're a husband and wife team, and they got a huge feature in the New York Times not too long ago. Learn English by watching Peppa Pig.
Huh.
And now they have all these amazing awards they have gotten throughout the years, and now their biggest one so far, Outstanding Restaurateur.
Wow.
Yes. So there's a couple of other highlights I wanted to highlight of the James Beard Awards. Coming up on This Bites, we'll continue our conversation with Ann's recap of a little old indie show called Top Chef. We're also going to talk about Amelinda and Ann's filling story about her pie class. That's coming up on This Bites.
I'm 88.9's Dory Zori.
And I'm Milwaukee Films' Christopher Pollard.
And we are the hosts of Cinebuds.
Yeah, we are. And on Cinebuds, we talk about movies.
Flicks.
Moving pictures, they are referred to as also.
Talkies.
Talkies is good, yeah. And you can listen to us every week.
On Wednesdays at 8 a.m.
Yeah, or you can listen to the entire podcast at radiomilwaukee.org/podcast.
Why wouldn't you? Cinebuds is brought to you with support from our members.
Love you.
We're back on This Bites. The wonderful, talented Ann Christensen and Tariq Moody, who are not part of Top Chef show, talking about Top Chef. So, episode 3. Am I right? Is that right?
Yes.
Episode 3?
Episode yes.
3.
Yes.
So, before we begin, if you have not watched it, we're going into spoilers. This is your warning. If you get upset, you were given a warning. Not our fault. Go. What happened?
All right. So it follows a similar format every episode, Tariq. So I'm pretty much going to be following what I've said in the past in terms of like the competitions. So here we are. They've eliminated one contestant as last week. So they're down to, I guess, 13 contestants at this point. So first things first, it is the quick fire challenge. So that's the first thing that they do. And they brought, so Kristen Kish, you know, brought all the contestants into Who's wherever that?
Is she new? I never heard of her.
Kristen Kish?
Who? Yeah. Is she someone special? Sorry, go ahead.
So the quick fire challenge, the contestants all come into like the little, you know, studio space that they have. And there is like this kind of model that has all these doors on it, these little doors, different colors. And Kristen comes out and says, okay, so the next challenge is going to relate to this town 3 hours north of Milwaukee. And what do you think that town is, Tariq?
3 hours north?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess not my favorite football team, Green Bay.
No, because all the little doors, Door County.
Oh, Door County.
So Door County. So it's a Door County challenge and it's going to involve cherries, Door County cherries.
Get out of town. I'm surprised by that. But go ahead.
And then each of the contestants goes up to this like wall of doors, little doors. Oh, and behind, they pick a door, and behind each door is a different ingredient because they're going to combine that ingredient from the door that they chose. They're going to combine that with the cherries to make some interesting elevated version of a dish.
That's a terrible pun with the door. I bet Kristen Kiss came with that idea.
Well, you'll be happy to know that one of the contestants got ginseng.
Oh, they mentioned ginseng.
Yeah,
they took my idea. We talked about it.
Yeah.
I see how it is.
This is one of my favorite contestants. Her name is Michelle Wallace, and she is, I can't remember where exactly she's from, but she is like a pit master. I mean, that's what she does in her daily job. She is a barbecue person.
Oh, I thought she was a deodorant person. Pit master. Sorry.
So anyway, I love her. She is, she's doing really well in the competition, but she had ginseng.
Did they mention ginseng's Wisconsin thing? Did they tell a story?
They had a little fast, like quick fact come up on the screen saying ginseng is blah, 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 you know, grown in Wisconsin, da, 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 da. So it was a little bit of a, you know, this is what we know about ginseng. Dan Jacobs gets kimchi. And then there
are and cherries. Okay. That should be interesting.
Yeah. Here are some of the other ingredients that people pick. Chocolate makes sense.
That's an easy
marshmallows.
Ew.
Chicken livers.
I can see the chicken livers.
Serrano peppers.
I can see the serrano peppers, sweet and spicy. I get it.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think what else. There are quite a few other ones. Sweetened condensed milk was one.
That's some that's some country stuff right there. What the?
Yeah, I don't know. So anyway, those during the quick fire challenge, they were all they had 30 minutes to make a dish with the ingredient they picked and cherries. And the judges who for this competition were not just Kristen Kish, who is the host. She had two guests. She had Carla Hall and the Ooh. Actress.
Oh, Carla Hall. Yeah. Oh,
Carla Hall, who is a chef, and she is or used to be on this show called Chopped, wasn't it? Wasn't she on Chopped? Or
well, she did like a morning show thing. I forgot. Was she on The Chew?
Oh, it was The Chew. Sorry, The Chew. That's it. She was on Chew. That.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like the culinary version of whatever that show that Whoopi Goldberg's on.
Yeah, pretty much. I think she was a contestant on Top Chef many years ago. I think that's where she had her start, you know, but anyway. So, and then Clea Duvall, I don't know if you've ever heard of her. She's an actress, but she was the other guest judge. I don't know why they picked her. She doesn't have a Milwaukee connection that I know of, but.
Yeah, I know somebody with Milwaukee connections, but okay.
So anyway, it was an interesting category because I think there were some pretty cool dishes that came out of it.
So talk about Dan. What could he come with the kimchi and cherry?
Like, yeah, he did like a it was like let me look at my notes here because I was taking pretty detailed notes. Dan, he did a kimchi pancake with a Bing cherry hoisin sauce. And there was something else on it. I have to, is Kim Shine, is she still editing our?
Marcus.
Oh, Marcus is. Sorry, Marcus. I just want to get the exact... yeah, he did a kimchi pancake with kimchi cherries and Bing cherry hoisin.
So he kimchi the cherries. Made the cherries. Oh, okay. That's
yeah. So, but he was saying during the competition, he was like, kimchi is so funky. I don't know if it's going to work with these cherries. But the guest judges seemed to really like his dish. He was not, however, in the top three because they picked the top three dishes that they liked and then the three on the bottom. So he was kind of in the middle.
So I'm assuming he's on next week's show.
Well, let me get to that. Let me get to that because that's not the only competition that they have. Then they have the big one. It's the elimination challenge. That's the huge one. And this one was cheese. So they held a cheese festival, like the first Top Chef Cheese Fest. And it was held at this big red barn somewhere.
Oh, wow. That is so original. I would never think to put a red barn and cheese in Wisconsin on a challenge. Dang, these Top Chef producers are amazing.
And you're going to love this because they invited all these people to come to the Cheese Festival, sample dishes made by all these chefs. And this was all outdoors. So you had the judges from Top Chef, and then you had all these Milwaukeeans, Wisconsinites, whatever, people who got invitations, and they came, and it was an outdoor cheese festival. And each of the chefs had to use a different cheese that they chose, a Wisconsin cheese. So like Dan, I think Dan had like a Mexican cheese, but it was all Wisconsin cheeses, which was really fun. And then at the cheese festival, all the cheese makers were there too. So you could see them out, you know, sampling dishes. I saw your friend, Arthur Ersink. from Wisconsin Foodie. He was pictured like sampling.
What does he know about cheese? He don't know anything about cheese.
But I want to get a description for what Dan made for that particular competition. Dan.
String cheese? Did he make cheese string cheese?
He did not. Everybody, what was interesting or funny about the whole thing was that all these chef testants, most of them made croquettes. They made, you know, there was one person that made mac and cheese, but everybody else did some form of croquette, except for this Michelle.
Why did everybody do croquette? Why? What
was that? Dan like didn't do a croquette either.
So why did everybody do all the croquettes? Is that right? Because it's, why did people seem to want to do a croquette?
I don't know. They all seemed to want to bread the cheese and make a
croquette. It was kind of lazy. Maybe they're trying to like, oh, let's do Wisconsin. Let's do like a fancy cheese curd. That's all they're trying to do.
Well, there was one of the weird things was this one chef did a crab rangoon, but it was a salad. So it wasn't actually in crab rangoon form at all. It did not have a pastry around it. It came with gorgonzola cheese. This was not well received by the judges.
You put gorgonzola is not a great cheese. Let's be frank.
I love gorgonzola.
See what I mean? And they used the Wisconsin native Wisconsin ingredient crab.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, I don't know. But also during that elimination category during that elimination competition, the celebrity guest judge was Dane Baldwin from The Diplomat. So he was there with the two judges and with Kristen Kish. And so he was sampling all these dishes. So that was interesting. But Dan, it was a Manchego potato dumpling.
I like that flavors.
Yeah. And the judges loved it.
Did it have like Serrano chilies in there too? Because I seem like that seemed like a perfect.
I don't think it did.
Compliment the chilies.
The judges really liked it. He was in the top three. And then they had the that sort of crab rangoon salad. The guy who made that, he was in the bottom three. One person went home. It was not Dan. He did not win that competition, but he was in the top three.
The top three? Well, good for you, man. Big ups. Big ups, Dan.
Yeah. So it was a fun episode. And, you know, what's so interesting about it is just seeing the physicality of being on this show. It takes a lot out of them physically. And they show Dan putting braces on his legs, you know, because he has Kennedy's disease. Mm-hmm. It is difficult. And then they showed highlights of the next episode. And
don't tell me you're in it.
No, I'm not in it. The next episode, they have to do two dishes inspired by Frank Lloyd Wright.
Oh, okay. You got the guy who's food podcast. And used to be an architect.
Also an architect. Yes.
All right, fail Kristen Kish. Fail Tom Colicchio. Coal in your stockings this year. That's all I have to say. So it makes me sad. Who could be a great person who was an architect and knows food? Not me. Okay. All right.
Well,
I think I'm going on Twitter and do my thing.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it was fun. I think that that Cheese Festival looked like it was a pretty big challenge for them because it was really hot. It was filmed in the summer and they had to do this outdoors and they had to feed 100 people.
If you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen.
But the great news is that Dan continues on to episode.
Continues on. Good job, Dan. Big ups. Nice. Thanks for the recap, Ann.
Sure.
Next, Amelinda. Amelinda, Chef Gregory Leone, has some interesting news. What's the deal with that?
So, Amelinda is going to open for lunch, which that restaurant has never done before. That's the Portuguese-Spanish restaurant that it is on Wisconsin Avenue, owned by Greg Leone, who has been nominated for a James Beard Award several times. And
what do you Was he semifinalist for Outstanding Chef? Was that right?
He was.
Yeah.
He was, yeah. And he is going to start lunch service on April 11th. I believe that is a Friday. And it's just going to be Thursdays and Fridays, at least to start out. And it is like online ordering and kind of carry out. They're not going to have table service. You can eat there, but they're not going to have table service. So when I asked him about this, he said that it was something he had planned to do. And then this was before pandemic, and then the pandemic hit, and he was like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. So, but now, he's opening for lunch. It's actually kind of the brainchild of his sous chef, I believe, who came up with the actual menu. It's a small menu right now. I think there's like four sandwiches and a couple different starters, and the starters are smaller versions of things off of their dinner menu. But did you take a look at that little menu that they're doing, Tariq?
No. What's on the menu?
Well, among the sandwiches, they have an SLT, which is serrano ham, lettuce, tomato jam, and cultured butter. They have a fried piri piri chicken. If you've ever had piri piri sauce, it's a Portuguese red pepper sauce. So the chicken is in that sauce with cabbage and carrot slaw. Beef meatballs with manchego and romesco sauce. So that's called albondiga. And another sandwich, this is the vegetarian one, it's escalavada. It's grilled eggplant with peppers, onions, and roasted fennel spread. As far as like beverages, they're going to have soft drinks and water, although Greg told me that those options will, you know, likely expand in the future. Mm-hmm. But they are open, as I said, like on Thursdays. They're going to be open on Thursdays and Fridays. Between 10 and 2, I believe. They're opening April 11th, Thursdays and Fridays between 11 and 2 p.m.
Another option for lunch.
Which is great, because I'm always looking for options for lunch.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to get lunch in this city.
Oh my God.
Some of your favorite restaurants, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Most of the place you have to go to is a chain, unfortunately, most places. But it's nice. Well, we have another option in the city. And finally, talk about your crusty experience at the pie class you did.
It's a very crusty experience. Yeah, I wrote about taking one of the pie sessions. This is a class, a series of classes I've been wanting to do for a while. It is taught by Valerie Lux. Valerie is the owner of Palomino, Honey Pie, Small Pie, and Comet Cafe. And she's been doing, you know, she's known for pies, Tariq. Honey Pie is known for their pies, fruit pies, cream pies.
And they're honey pies. Honey pies are really good.
The honey pie?
Yeah, don't they make honey pie? I mean, that's the name.
I don't think I've ever had a honey pie.
It's sticky.
It's
so, buzzworthy.
Yeah.
Buzzworthy.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, yeah, it's funny. That's cute. So Val teaches classes in the kitchen at Palomino, because the kitchen is bigger there than it is at Honey Pie. Mm. And I signed up for a class. I did it under a pseudonym, Tariq, so they didn't know I was there. And so it's in the kitchen. There's like 12 people total. You're all standing around one of those, you know, big, you know, work surfaces. And she kind of coached us each through making two pies. It was a 2.5 hour class. And she has different themes. The theme that I went for was cream pies, which was interesting because I don't, you know, I've made pies before. I've always done kind of pastry crust pies with a fruit filling. I've never really made a cream pie. I like them, but it's not something that I've ever really, I don't know, thought that much about making. This was really interesting to me. So the crust When you talk about crusty, it was not a pastry crust. These were graham cracker crust, which is a great crust, by the way. And it's perfect with the cream pies that we made.
I think texture-wise, it works well.
It does. It absolutely does. And you could make just a plain graham cracker crust, or you could add instead of graham crackers, like chocolate wafer cookies or kind of like smashed up Oreo cookies. You could do that in place of the graham crackers to make a chocolate crust. but she showed us how to make a cream filling that you could customize. So and it was a cooked cream filling. So she cooked it over the stove. It was just a basic cream filling, but if you added, you know, whatever flavorings that you wanted to, you could turn it into a banana cream pie, which I did, because we had bananas there as well. You could add coconut extract and make it a coconut cream pie.
Was there Malort there?
They did not have Malort there. They did have bourbon though. So you, you know, could have added bourbon.
Pour it all in there.
But it was so much fun. And it included a drink at the bar. So everybody was, you know, had their cocktails while they were making their pies. but because a cream pie takes like about, 8 hours in the, you know, to chill in the refrigerator before you can eat it, we had to take our pies home. So we couldn't taste our pies that night. It's a 2 hour class, 2 to 3 hour class. And at the end of the class, we took our pies home, but they had to go in the refrigerator to chill. So she brought out some already made cream pies that we could taste. So, but it was so much fun. And everybody just, you know, was doing it to, you know, it seemed like it was, you know, there were a couple moms doing it with their adult children. Mm-hmm. They were just people that were, you know, kind of foodie type people that wanted to maybe, you know, learn some skills, some pie making skills. But honestly, it was more about just having fun. You know, you could be a total beginner and do this. But it was really fun. And I would absolutely take another class.
Cool. I like that.
Have you ever thought of taking one of these classes? One of the pie sessions?
Why don't you need to take a class when I'm already an expert?
Oh yeah, you're perfect. That's right. You're perfect.
I mean, I make probably the best sweet potato pie in the state.
You know, yeah.
Chris and Kish, you should have, you know, but anyway, whatever. Any good, it's all good. Well, that wraps up this week's edition of This Bites. You can check out the full pie learning experience in the latest issue of Milwaukee Magazine. This Bites is edited and produced by Marcus Doucette, with the smoothest voice in town, and generosity from our membership. Please subscribe to This Bites wherever you get your podcast, whether that's NPR, Apple, Spotify, or directly from RadioMilwaukee.org. Remember, feedback's important, so please rate and review. Until next week, and stay hungry.
And keep the Malort cold.
Malort cream pie.
Malort cream pie. God, that sounds horrific.